This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ويقول الإنسان أإذا ما مت لسوف أخرج حيا أولا يذكر الإنسان أنا خلقناه من قبل ولم يك شيئا فوربك لنحشرنهم والشياطين ثم لنحضرنهم حول جهنم جثيا.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what the hearts conceal and what the tongues shall not reveal, the one to whom all shall appeal and in front of whom the believers kneel. Alhamdulillah, we are continuing in our summary of the actual day of judgment, and we now move on to the next major issue. And it is the next major, if you like, milestone on the day of judgment. And it is the very, very beautiful and interesting issue of the fountain, or you can call it the pool, or you can call it the cistern of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is known as the Hawd, the Hawd. And of course, the day of judgment, as we know from the previous lectures, that it is going to be a very difficult day. And it is going to be a day that is very hot, as the hadith mentioned, that the sun is going to come until it is just 1 mile away, and that there's going to be no shade on that day except the shade that Allah chooses to give to the people, and that people will be sweating profusely, so much so that there's some people's sweat will go up to their shins, others will go to their thighs, others will go all the way to their necks. They're just going to be sweating because of that heat. So we need to drink. And how will the righteous drink on that day? On that day, there shall be only one source of water, and that source is the fountain or the pool of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is called the Hawd. And the Hawd in Arabic, it means, you know, the cistern or the pool. So by pool, we don't mean like something that is inside. We need something that is raised up. So it is going to be something that it's like, you know, a water canister or something that you store water in, that the travelers will come and they will drink from. That's called the Hawd. And so there is going to be a large, if you like, water cistern, or a water, if you like, canister. It's not quite a canister. There's going to be a massive pool to store water, and that people can walk up to, and then there'll be cups there and they can drink from it. And this is called the Hawd of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, this Hawd, it is not mentioned in the Quran. However, the Quran mentions the Kawthar. Inna a'tainaka al-Kawthar. And as we shall learn, the Kawthar is the source of the water of the Hawd. Okay? So what is the Kawthar? We will talk about the Kawthar in more detail later on when we talk about the realities of Jannah through the Quran and Sunnah. But the Kawthar is one of the main rivers of Jannah that has been gifted to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is described with beautiful imagery that the banks of the Kawthar are carved out pearls, that its water is colder than ice and more fragrant than perfume and sweeter than honey, and that the first taste that the people on the Day of Judgment will get of Jannah will be those Muslims who are drinking from the Hawd, whose water comes from the Kawthar. So once again, the people on the Day of Judgment have not yet entered Jannah. And the first taste they will get of Jannah will be when they drink from the pool whose source is going to be the river of Jannah, and that is the Kawthar. Now, I said the Kawthar is mentioned in the Quran. The Hawd is not mentioned in the Quran. Where is it mentioned? It is mentioned in the prophetic traditions. And it is one of those traditions that has reached the level of mutawatir. What is mutawatir? Mutawatir means it has been narrated by so many people that there is no doubt of its certainty. It is established beyond doubt that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said and told us about the Hawd. And some ulama, some scholars have compiled this tradition. The Hafidh ibn Hajar, the famous muhaddith, he comments in his Fath al-Bari that The Andalusian scholar Al-Qadi Iyad, he has listed 25 companions who narrated about the Hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Imam An-Nawawi, who came after Al-Qadi Iyad, he added 3 more people to get 28. And then Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, he adds with a hint of legitimate pride, he says that, and I found an equivalent number to all of them, thus making the total number of companions more than 50. And he says that from these 50, there are almost 100 chains that are talking about going back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, telling us about the fountain or the Hawd. And therefore, this hadith of telling us about the fountain, it has reached the highest level of authenticity, which is called mutawatir. And it is because of this that belief in the fountain has become a point of creed for the people of Sunnah, for the people of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Imam As-Saffarini wrote a very comprehensive book of theology around 300 years ago, and he writes in this book that both the Hawd and the Kawthar are affirmed by the texts and by the unanimous consensus of all of Ahlus Sunnah of Sunni Islam, so much so he says that it is now considered a fundamental part of faith, and whoever denies it becomes a person of deviation or a person of heresy. And so there are too many ahadith about the Hawd to narrate in one lecture. As I said, Ibn Hajar has compiled over 50 of the companions, so how can he go over every one of them? Nonetheless, just to give you some of them, of the most famous hadith is the one in Bukhari and Muslim that Uqba ibn Amr narrated that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for the people of Uhud, and then he turned to them and he said, "Ana faratukum ala al-hawd." I am going to be, so the word farat in Arabic, it means that the person who goes ahead of the caravan or the group to prepare the way for the group to come. There's a technical term. It doesn't exist in English. You can say scout, but not quite. The scout comes back, but the word farad means he's the scout who goes forward and then he prepares. So imagine a caravan will go camping somewhere. So the farad is going to go before and clear the path and make sure there's an area and know where to camp, where the water is. So he's preparing for the people to come. So the Prophet is saying, I will be that leader for you that's preparing on the day of judgment. I'm going to make sure that things are good for you. I'm going to make sure that the fountain is ready for you. And I will meet you at the Hawd. And the hadith goes on that I have been given of the keys to the treasures of this world. And by Allah, I am not scared that you will do shirk after me. What I am scared is that you will compete with one another for this world. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, meaning the bulk of the ummah will not fall into shirk. The Prophet ﷺ is not worried that they will fall into idolatry. He is worried that they will become too greedy and they will fight one another for this world and they will become greedy for the pleasures of this world. Ibn Mas'ud reported that the Prophet ﷺ said also in Bukhari and Muslim that I am your farat, I will be the one that will be waiting for you at the fountain, and groups of people will be presented to me and I will call out to them, but then they will be snatched away from me. I will argue and I will say, oh my Lord, these are my companions, but then it will be said to me, you do not know what they changed after you. You do not know that they turned around and they left after you, or they literally abandoned after you. So this hadith tells us that there will be people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognizes as Muslims and he is calling out to them, but the angels will come and say, no, these people do not deserve the Hawd. And we're going to come to this point afterwards as well. And there are numerous traditions to the effect that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will recognize his ummah on the day of judgment from the effects of wudu. In the hadith of Abu Hurairah, he was asked, the Prophet ﷺ was asked that, O Messenger of Allah, how shall you recognize the Muslims on the Day of Judgment? And he said that my ummah will come غُرًّا مُحَجَّلِينَ مِنْ آثَارِ الْوُضُوء. They will come with bright faces and their limbs will be shining bright because of the effects of wudu. And so the one who does wudu constantly, frequently, perfectly, the one who is conscientious in doing wudu, that is the person that shall be recognized by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. We also learn in the hadith of Sahih Muslim that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about the fountain, and he said, "It is ashaddu bayadu min al-laban." With the water that is in it, it is whiter than milk. Wa ahla min al-asal, and it will be sweeter than honey. And he said that there will be two mizaban that are coming from Jannah. A mizab, it is like a long pipe. Okay, when you go to the Kaaba, one side of the Kaaba has that funnel or that pipe that is called mizab. And mizab is something that was used in those days to collect the water from the roof and cause it to fall down in those roofs that were actually padded. Even in our cultures, we have various things that do that. But in the old days, there was just a spout coming out that was going to collect the water and let it go down. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that from Jannah, there will be two spouts that are coming onto the plains of the Day of Judgment. One of them from gold and the other from silver. And from these two spouts, there will be the water that is coming from the Kawthar and it will be coming into the Hawd. Imagine and visualize this. We have the fountain, the Hawd, and the source of that water will be from Jannah itself, where there will be two spouts coming from Jannah. One made out of gleaming silver, other made out of beautiful gold. And from the Kawthar will be coming the water into the Hawd. And therefore, as I said, the first taste of Jannah on the Day of Judgment will be those who drink from the Hawd. Also, there is a beautiful icon or symbol that we will also be able to see when we're trying to find the Hawd. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, مَا بَيْنَ بَيْتِ وَمِنْبَرِي رَوْضَةٌ مِنْ رِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمِنْبَرِي عَلَى حَوْضِي. What is between my house and between my pulpit, it is one of the gardens of paradise. And then he said, and my pulpit shall be stationed at my hawd, at my water fountain. So the pulpit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will then be brought, and you will see the pulpit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an icon that will be in front of the fountain of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of our scholars have mentioned that the symbolism here is powerful, and that is that whoever was eager to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this world, or to follow his sunnah, because those who saw him, those who didn't like us, how do we listen to the minbar? Those who paid attention to what was said on the minbar, meaning the ahadith and the sunnah, those will be the ones that will be guided to the minbar, and they will be drinking from the hawd. In other words, your eagerness in following the sunnah is what will cause you to drink from the hawd. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that he will have a hawd on the Day of Judgment. Will all the prophets have a hawd? There is a hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi that the Prophet said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ حَوْضًا وَإِنَّهُمْ يَتَبَاهُونَ أَيُّهُمْ أَكْثَرُ وَارِدُهُ وَإِنِّي أَرْجُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ وَارِدًا. That the Prophet said, every Nabi has a hawd, and all the prophets will be competing with one another to see who has the largest amount of people coming to his fountain, and I am optimistic that I will be the one that has the largest. So this is a hadith in Tirmidhi. Now, this hadith does have a slight weakness. Hassan has a inqita'i, and basically it's a very slight missing link in the era of the tabi'un, between the tabi'un and the sahabi. Nonetheless, the concept seems to be valid, and that is because many of our early scholars, they consider this to be a part of our theology, that all the prophets have a hawd. And also because when our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam listed things that are unique to him, that have not been given to other prophets, he never listed the hawd as being unique to him. So had it been unique to him, he would have listed it. The fact that he didn't list it, it shows that every prophet will have a hawd, and every prophet will be calling his ummah to his hawd, and our Prophet ﷺ will be calling us to his hawd. And how shall he recognize us? By those who perform wudu. And by the way, this is a huge warning to those who are lazy in their prayers and those who do not do wudu, that from the beginning, from the very Day of Judgment, things are going to go downhill. So guard your prayer, guard your wudu, because you want things to go uphill in the next world. What are some of the characteristics of the hawd that we are familiar with? Well, a number of things are mentioned. The first thing that is mentioned, and this is mentioned in almost every single hadith, is the massive size of the hawd, the massive size of this hawd. So it is very huge. And different versions of hadith mention different city names. The Prophet would mention typically two cities, and he would say that one side of my hawd is from this city to that city. So in one hadith in Bukhari, he said that my hawd is between Ayla and Sana'a. Ayla is a city that is now in Jordan or in the occupied lands in that region. It's a small city, Ayla, which is a coastal city. And he goes, it is from there all the way to Sana'a in Yemen. In another hadith in Sahih Muslim, he said, from Ayla to Adan, which is also in Yemen. In another hadith, he said, from Medina to Sana'a. In another hadith, he said, from Adan to Oman. In another hadith, he said, from Sana'a to Basra. In yet another hadith, he said, from the Kaaba to Bayt al-Maqdis. And there's many other narrations. One of the scholars has compiled all of these narrations and extracted 15 different combinations. Whereas one hadith does not mention two cities. It mentions a time frame. Hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, my fountain, it is the distance of 1 month's journey traveling, you know, one side of it. Now, there are, as we said, over 15 narrations. Some people have caused doubts to come about the sunnah by saying, hey, look, all of these different narrations are conflicting with one another. But in reality, there's no conflict. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning the hawd in many ahadith to many different people. And he's giving a rough idea, a rough estimate from Ayla to Adan, from Sana'a to Basra, from Makkah all the way to Jerusalem. So he's just giving a rough idea. And you know, all of these are basically a very large distance. Like, imagine the entire Arabian Peninsula. We're talking about like 2,500 kilometers or 1,500 miles. That's one side of it. You know, one side of it, he is saying, that's how large it is. So there's no need to find any contradiction. The Prophet ﷺ is talking about the hawd many different times, and he's giving an estimate, depending on how fast you travel or whatnot, of how large or how wide the hawd is. Also, we learn that it is a square. The hawd is not a circle. It is a square. In the hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَزَاوِيَاهُ سَوَىٰ. And the sides of it are all equidistant. And the only way that can happen is if you have a square. And this is actually beneficial for us, because had it been a circle, then the perimeter decreases. The square has the maximum perimeter of any type of object, right? So the square has the maximum perimeter, which means the maximum people can drink from it. So can you imagine? طبعاً, of course, I'm just being, يعني, you know, we're not going down mathematics here. It's not measuring. But can you imagine a square that is 2,500 kilometers on one side, and then another, and then another? That's like 10,000 kilometers, right? Can you imagine how many people can be drinking simultaneously, you know, at any given time? And so there's going to be hundreds of millions of people that will be able to drink from the hawd at any given time. And then once they drink, they can go, and others can come and come. And so the hawd is a massive, massive place where millions and millions of people can simultaneously drink, and it is going to be in the shape of a square. Now, what will they drink from? How will they get? So there's going to be a wall. There's going to be water inside of it. Which where will they? What will they use their hands or what? Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, kizanuhu kanujum as-sama. The number of cups of this fountain is just like the number of stars, which means beyond count. When you say, even in English and in Arabic, when you say as much as the stars, you mean beyond count. And so anybody who goes up to that hawd and is and gets there, you will have a cup waiting for you, and you can use that cup and you can drink from the hawd. What will be inside of it? Well, because the source is the Kawthar, our Prophet ﷺ described the Kawthar and he described the hawd with the exact same terminology. In Sahih Muslim, he said, مَاؤُهُ أَبْيَضُ مِنَ اللَّبَنِ وَرِيحُهُ أَطْيَبُ مِنَ الْمِسْكِ. Its water is whiter than milk, and its smell is better than perfume. In the other hadith, he said, it is sweeter than honey. In the hadith in Muslim, Imam Ahmad, he said, أَبْرَدُ مِنَ الثَّلْجِ. It is colder than ice itself. So imagine a delectable delight, a drink that is so, it's not necessarily water, it's not water per se, it is something that is of the drinks of Jannah, and it is of the drinks of Jannah, and so it is beyond our description. But these words, they give us a type of understanding of what it is. And of course, when you are drinking from Jannah, what do you think one of the characteristics is going to be? Hadith in Sahih Muslim, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَظْمَأُ بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا. Whoever drinks from the hawd shall never ever be thirsty for all of eternity. Can you imagine one sip of that hawd, and that is it? For the rest of eternity, you will never be thirsty. Can you imagine the power of, and this is just the first sip of Jannah. What do you think awaits us in Jannah, if this will be the one sip of one fountain of Jannah that we shall, inshallah ta'ala, taste on the day of judgment. Now, a question arises here that, well, if we will never get thirsty after this, why will we be drinking from the fountains of Jannah when Allah Azza wa Jalla says that there are fountains of milk and there are fountains of honey and there are fountains of pure alcohol, pure khamr, in which there's no, negative stuff. So all of these fountains are in Jannah. Why will we drink when we're not thirsty? And the response is, the food and the drink of Jannah is not meant for us to survive. We don't need food and drink to survive. The food and the drink of Jannah is just for pleasure. It is just for, you know, sometimes we're not that hungry, but if nice dishes present, we're like, oh, I just want to taste the dish. So Jannah will be all of this. And you know, subhanAllah, one of the things of Jannah, when I say it, so many brothers and sisters, especially, they get so happy when I say this, that Jannah, you can eat and eat and eat and you will never get fat. You don't have to worry about your weight. You can eat and eat and there is no issue of worrying about, because you're not eating for your digestion. It's not food that is for your consumption, for your survival. It is just for the pleasure of eating itself. And so whoever tastes from the hawd will never ever be thirsty for all of eternity. Also, of the things that we learn about the hawd is that it is in charge, or sorry, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in charge of the hawd, which means he is the one who must invite you. If you are not invited by him, you will not get to the hawd. He is waiting for us there. He will be there before any of us come. So he will be there preparing the hawd. And then when he sees batches of people, he shall invite them. And he shall come to his ummah, calling out to his ummah. Hadith of Asma bint Abi Bakr, that she says, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "Inni ala al-hawd hatta anzuru man yaridu alayya minkum." I shall be at the hawd waiting, and I will see who will be coming to present himself in front of me. And so the Prophet sallallahu will be the farat, will be the one that is waiting, and he is going to be seeing who is coming to him and inviting to that hawd, and he shall be recognizing people from the wudu. Anybody whose wudu is bright and shining, the Prophet will see him from the entire mankind and invite him to come from the hawd. And people will come in batches depending on their faith. And so the stronger iman, or those that were more blessed, will be coming to the hawd earlier. And there will be special people as well on that day that get special privilege because of who they are, because of what they've done. And this is mentioned in a number of traditions of them, the hadith of Thawban radiallahu ta'ala an, that he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hawdi min Adan ila Amman al-Balqa," that my fountain is going to be from Adan to Amman al-Balqa. So two cities that are far distance away. They're both in southern Arabia. And its water is whiter than milk. It is sweeter than honey. The number of cups are more than the stars in the sky. Whoever drinks from it shall never be thirsty. And then he says, the first batch who shall come to the fountain will be the fuqara al-muhajirin, the poor of the muhajirin. The number one batch that will come will be those who left everything in Mecca and migrated to Medina. And he described them. Their hair is disheveled. Their clothes are dusty. They were not able to marry women that were of upper class. So the women that were spoiled and luxurious, because they didn't have the money, they weren't able to get to nice partners in the socioeconomic sense. Obviously, iman and taqwa is separate. And they were people whose doors would not open for them. They will be the first batch to drink from the hawd. Now, so he's describing the poor of the muhajirin. When Thawban narrated this hadith after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umar ibn al-Khattab happened to be sitting there, and he began to cry and cry and cry, and he said, "As for me, then I am not fitting this category, because I have been able to marry, ladies of a rich socioeconomic status, and I have good clothing, and my hair is not disheveled and dusty. So perhaps I should, wear simple clothing and allow my hair to become disheveled and dusty." So Umar ibn Khattab felt that he is not going to meet this criterion. But of course, Umar is Umar radiallahu anhu. He is of the Ashra Mubashara, but this shows his iman and taqwa, that he negated this rank, even though inshallah he is of this rank as well. And so this hadith shows us that the first batch to come will be the fuqara al-muhajirin. How about the Ansar? There's a beautiful hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad that mentions that even the Ansar will be of the earliest of batches. And this hadith goes as follows, that Hamza, the famous Shaheed Hamza, when he migrated to Medina, he married Khawala binti Qais from the Ansar. So he married one of the Ansari ladies from the Banu Najjar. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would regularly visit Hamza. And subhanAllah, so this hadith is about the first 2 years of Medina, because Hamza, as you know, died a shaheed in the Battle of Uhud. So he is visiting the house of Hamza regularly, and he would mention to them a hadith. And so one day he came to the house of Hamza, and Khawala said that, O Messenger of Allah, I have heard the people say that you will have a fountain on the Day of Judgment that is so massive and large. And the Prophet ﷺ said to Khawala, yes, and the most beloved people to me that will come to that fountain to drink will be your people. That is the Ansar. So subhanAllah, what a beautiful hadith. By the way, the hadith goes on, and subhanAllah, these small tidbits, they're so beautiful. The hadith goes on that I prepared for him a dish that had in it, you know, hot, you know, elements of bread and meat. And so the Prophet ﷺ put his hand in the pot and his fingers became hot, and he said, hiss. And hiss or has or hasin, there's different ways to say it. Like in English we say, ouch, or ow, you know, that phrasing is hiss. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, the son of Adam, when he is too cold, he says, ouch. And when he is too hot, he says, ouch, he says, hiss. In other words, how weak is the son of Adam that the slightest change and he'll say, ouch, or tisk, or ooh, or this, or that. So he's gonna, you know, grumble and complain. So the Prophet ﷺ is in the house of Khawala, who is the wife of his uncle Hamza. And he is mentioning this beautiful internal, you know, commentary here. So beautiful window. But the point we're interested in here is that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, of the most beloved people that will come and drink from it will be the Ansar. So he mentions the Muhajirun, he mentions the Ansar. In another hadith in the Musnad Imam Ahmad, he also said that I will be at the Hawd, clearing the way for the people of Yemen so that they will be given a spot in the Hawd. So the people of Yemen, and the people of Yemen are praised so much in the hadith. And by the way, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the people of Yemen right now. They're undergoing a severe catastrophe, and the sad reality is that it is a man-made catastrophe. The even sadder reality is being caused by our Muslim brethren. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. So make dua for the people of Yemen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eases their affairs and grants them comfort. They are being attacked multiple ways, not just by weapons, but also by the COVID crisis. And on top of this, there's a huge issue of food as well. So subhanAllah, as we read these hadith about the blessings of Yemen, we should really take into account the realities that they're suffering and make special dua for the people of Yemen. But the point being, in this hadith, we are told that the Prophet ﷺ will see the people of Yemen coming, and he's going to clear the way for them. What a beautiful blessing for the people of Yemen. He's going to make sure they have a special spot so that they can drink from the Hawd. So this shows us that there will be people that have special status at the Hawd. We also have one of the characteristics of the Hawd, which is one of the scariest ones, and it is mentioned in over 10 hadith about this, is that there will be people whom the Prophet ﷺ recognizes, he calls out to, but then the angels will come and prevent them. And there are many hadith about this. And there's a beautiful one in Sunan al-Tirmidhi that also shows us the eagerness of the Sahaba, and it also shows us the eagerness of the female Sahabiyat to learn. And it also shows us that the female Sahabiyat were not restricted from knowledge, and they would gain knowledge directly. The beautiful hadith with many benefits. Umm Salama says that I used to hear the people mentioning the fountain, and I had not heard the Prophet ﷺ directly mention the fountain. And one day, my little girl, or maybe my servant, was combing my hair, and I heard the Prophet ﷺ say, "Oh, people, come." And so I said to my servant or my little girl, I said, you know, get me ready, I'm going to go out, so, you know, leave me to go. And so she said that he is calling the men and not the women. And I said, no, he said, oh people, and I am from the people. He said, ayyuhan nas. Notice Umm Salama is saying, no, I'm also a human being who can learn directly from the Prophet. And my gender does not come in the way from learning Islam. I want to hear directly from him what he is saying. And so she rushed to the masjid, and there she heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that inni lakum faratun ala al-hawd, that I will be the one that is waiting for you. Again, the same, the farad at the fountain. فَإِيَّايَ لَا يَتَ فَإِيَّايَ So be careful. Let nobody come to you. Let nobody come on that day that is going to be turned back away from me. Be careful, you're not amongst that group. I will say, why are they being turned away from me? And I will be told, you do not know how they changed after you. So I will say, be gone, be gone. Now, this hadith is in Tirmidhi, but the concept of being turned away is in Bukhari and Muslim and every book of hadith. That the Prophet ﷺ will call out, he will say, these are my people, these are my companions, these are my group. And the angels will say, you do not know how they changed. You do not know what they introduced. You do not know that they turned their backs and they left. All of these phrases are there. Now, this hadith is a very deep and profound hadith, and unfortunately, it is used by unorthodox groups to derive opinions that are simply not correct. And there are groups out there that you are probably familiar with who think that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, the majority of them, they think are misguided. And that's their belief, obviously. Our belief, what one of the main beliefs of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, of Sunni Islam, is to respect Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum and all of the 10 and all of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each one according to their level. And what this means is that anybody who was a believer and who saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while upon belief, they have a special status. By the way, I have spoken about this topic in a lot of detail in a previous series of lectures I've given when I talked about, went over the lives of the Sahaba. If you go back to that series, it is online. The first topic that I gave when I talked about the definition of a companion and the blessings of the companion, I went into a lot of detail about why do we believe that the companions are righteous people. Now, this hadith seems to suggest that the companions are not righteous because The hadith says, the Prophet will say, my ashab, ashabi. The angels will say, no, get away. You don't know what they did after you. And so I will say, be gone, suhqan, suhqan, away from me. Now, this hadith is used by non-Sunni groups to say that the Sahaba are incorrect, that the Sahaba will themselves be dissociated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And obviously, this interpretation cannot be accepted for the obvious reason that you do not just take one evidence and ignore and neglect thousands of other evidences. This is one of the main methodological problems of all people who have incorrect opinions. You take one evidence or one statement and you shut your eyes to everything else. So this hadith is authentic. We are not denying it. It is in Bukhari and Muslim. It is in every book of Sunnah out there. But so are 1,000 other hadith about the blessings of the Sahaba and the status of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhu and so on and so forth. So how do we reconcile? Ibn Hajar, Imam al-Nawawi, so many of the classical ulama, they have discussed this hadith in detail and they have said that this group could be that of the hypocrites, the munafiqun. It could also be those who followed the false prophets. And so there were people who followed Musaylima al-Kadhab. There were people who followed, the civil wars that took place and the false prophets were on the other side. It could also be people who committed major sins because these people are not non-Muslims. These people are Muslims, but the Prophet ﷺ is saying, you're not going to have the blessing of drinking from my fountain. They might still end up in Jannah, but there is a blessing on the Day of Judgment, and that blessing shall be to drink from the fountain. And so it is possible there will be groups of people who have committed major sins. And that is something that is very realistic. Another interpretation is that it doesn't have to be the actual companions of the Prophet ﷺ. It could be when he is saying, these are my people, that he is meaning the Muslim Ummah. And so this changes the whole dynamics altogether. And so all of these are valid interpretations. And in the end of the day, Allah knows best. We need to try our best to follow the sunnah and to be of those whom the Prophet ﷺ invites and nobody comes in between. And the way that we do that is by following the Quran and sunnah and by respecting the sahaba. Also, an interesting point about the hawd, by the way, is that in multiple narrations, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the hawd. He mentioned the hawd as an incentive for the companions to remain steadfast, to make them go through difficult times in multiple narrations. So, of them, for example, we already mentioned the hadith of Uqba ibn Amir that after the Prophet ﷺ prayed over the people of Uhud. So after the incident of Uhud took place, he went to the masjid, he climbed the minbar as if to bid farewell, right? And according to one report, this is one of the last sermons that he ever gave in his life. In fact, this might be the last general khutbah he ever gave to all of his sahaba in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. So realize, right before his death, he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he visited Uhud one last time. And then he came back, and then he gave a sermon. Many of the sahaba, this was the last time they saw him. Do you know what he said? How he began that sermon? He said, أَنَا فَرَطُكُمْ عَلَى الْحَوْضِ. I shall meet you at the Hawd. I will meet you. So this is the last time the Sahaba are going to see him, and he is reminding them that don't worry, wait for me at the Hawd, and I will be there for you at the Hawd. Can you imagine the scenario? Subhanallah. What a beautiful hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, in another hadith reported in Abu Dawud and others, he was speaking to the Ansar, and he said to them that إِنَّكُمْ سَتَلْقَوْنَ بَعْدِي أَثَرَهُ فَاصْبِرُوا حَتَّى تَلْقَوْنِي عَلَى الْحَوْضِ. That he said to the Ansar, you're going to face many disasters and calamities after me, and so be patient until you meet me at the fountain. So what an amazing hadith. When we are undergoing, and imagine now, what is he talking about? The companions, especially the Ansar as well, they faced a lot of trials and tribulations, you know, in their lifetimes. There was a lot of negative things that went on in that time frame. The massacre of Uthman, the attempted assassination of so many people, Adil radiallahu anhu, the civil wars between the Sahaba, you know, the early antics of the Umayyad dynasty of you know, the issue of Karbala and the issue of the Harra and all of these things that happened. Very negative tragedies, very sad tragedies. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling the Ansar, you're going to see some difficult things ahead of you. So be patient. Be patient. I'll be waiting for you at the Hawd. Imagine the psychology of these hadith, that they're being told that they should have an incentive of being reunited with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to be patient in this world. It's only a matter of time before the Day of Judgment happens and they'll see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over there. So the Hawd or the fountain is being used as an incentive for the Sahaba to be righteous and to maintain a level head through times of trial and tribulation, and the same applies for us as well. And so these are some of the characteristics of the Hawd. We mentioned quite a lot of them. Now, the next issue that we're going to do, which is the final major issue about the Hawd, and that is, well, when will the Hawd take place? So in our last lesson, we did the mizan and the scales. We talked about the scales. We did the hisab. We did all of this. Now, I delayed the Hawd to this lecture, not because it is necessarily after or before, but because we wanted to talk about the actual substance of the Day of Judgment and the Hisab and whatnot. Now we get to an issue that in reality we're not 100% certain. Will it be before the Hisab and before the judgment and before the one-on-one and before the accounting, or will it be after the accounting? Will it be before the Sirat? We haven't got to the Sirat yet. We're going to do that inshallah in our next lesson. Or will it be after the Sirat, right before Jannah? So there's a number of interpretations in this regard, and I'll mention the two main interpretations. The first opinion, and this is the opinion of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, and also it is the position of Hujjatul Islam al-Ghazali. The first opinion is that the fountain is going to be right before entering the gates of Jannah, after crossing over the Sirat. And so you will cross over the Sirat, you will come to this area called the Qantara. We'll talk about the Qantara as well, and I already mentioned it when I talked about the Iqtisas. I mentioned this as well briefly about the Qantara. And at the Qantara, when you're about to enter Jannah, there's going to be the Hawd. Now, what is the evidence of Imam al-Bukhari and also Ghazali and others? What is the evidence? Also, this is the position of Imam al-Suyuti as well. The evidence is the famous hadith of Anas ibn Malik that our Prophet ﷺ was asked by Anas ibn Malik, where shall I meet you on the Day of Judgment? Where shall I meet you on the Day of Judgment? The Prophet ﷺ said, the first place you should look for me for is at the Sirat. I'll be there at the Sirat, the beginning of the Sirat. Anas said, فَإِن لَمْ أَجِدْ, what if I don't find you there? So he said, then at the Mizan. So he said, if I don't find you there, he said, then at the Hawd. And you will not find me missing from these three places on the Day of Judgment. I'm going to be at one of these three locations. You will not find me missing. And Jalaluddin al-Suyuti, the famous scholar of Islam, al-Suyuti, who died 9/11 Hijrah, he said that it is narrated in the hadith in the Musnad of al-Hakim that the Hawd will be after the Sirat, and this is the position of al-Qadi Iyad as well. So we have al-Bukhari, we have al-Ghazali, we have al-Qadi Iyad, we have Jalaluddin al-Suyuti, and we have a whole galaxy of ulama. They say that the Hawd is going to be after the Sirat, and after the Hisab, and after the Mizan, and right before entering Jannah. And the main evidence is the hadith of Anas, and also there's a hadith in the Mustadrak of Al-Hakim as well that seems to suggest this as well. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar comments in his commentary in Sahih al-Bukhari, and he says, the fact that Imam al-Bukhari places the hadith of the Hawd after the hadith of the Sirat, because he has in his book about the Day of Judgment, he has the hadith about the Sirat, and then he has the hadith about the Hawd. He says, this indicates that Imam al-Bukhari believes that the fountain will be after crossing over the bridge. Now, that is one opinion. However, if you look at, firstly, the hadith of, in the Mustadrak of al-Hakim is not authentic. Secondly, the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, if you look at it, he is not describing the tartib, he's not describing the order, our Prophet ﷺ. He's simply saying, look, I'll be at these three places. He says, look, the clearest place you'll find me is going to be at the Sirat, because as we're going to discuss inshallah in our next lesson, our Prophet ﷺ will be at the beginning of the Sirat. He's going to be waiting for the people at the Sirat. And there's only one bridge, and he's at the front of that bridge. So what do you think, that's going to be the easiest place to find? So he goes, the first place you need to look for me is the Sirat. Anas ibn Malik said, what if I don't find you there? He said, okay, at the Mizan, at the scale. He said, what if I don't find you there? He said, okay, well, I'm going to be at the Hawd, and for sure I'm going to be one of these three locations. So this hadith is not telling us a chronological order. It's simply giving three locations that in all likelihood what it means is that statistically speaking is easiest to find him at this, and then the next easy, and then the third easiest. And perhaps it has nothing with chronology, perhaps it has to do with the frequency of people. So for example, the Hawd is going to be hundreds of millions of people, and so the Prophet is saying, I'll be there, but that's number three out of the Sirat where everybody's going to be crossing, you know, in the line. In any case, and by the way, before we move on here, look at the love of Anas ibn Malik, that he's already thinking, you know, Ya Rasulullah, where will I find you on the Day of Judgment, right? Where will I find you on the Day of Judgment? So it's a beautiful hadith as well. Now the point being here that this hadith does not indicate chronology, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Now the other opinion is that is the opinion of Imam al-Qurtubi and others, Ibn Kathir and others, and that is that the Hawd is going to be before the Sirat and even before the Mizan. The Hawd is going to be even before the judgment, even before the judgment. Rather, it will be as soon as one gets out of the graves and one is thirsty, that one will be able to drink before the Hisab, before the Mizan, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking one-on-one with us. And Ibn Kathir narrates that it appears that the Hawd will be before the Sirat, because only the believers will cross the Sirat. So there's no need to sift the evil people and the murtads and the munafiqun from the believers, as is going to happen at the Hawd. This is a very interesting point here. Ibn Kathir perceptively is saying, the hadith says that the angels are going to come and say, you, these people should not drink from the Hawd. This cannot occur before entering heaven, because once you get to that stage, everybody's going in. So it has to occur before entering heaven. Ibn Kathir also says another way to reconcile between the hadith of Anas and the logic of this is to say maybe there's multiple Hawd. So you should know that a small group of ulama, they posited multiple fountains. One is going to be before the Sirat, one is going to be after the Sirat. Nonetheless, it doesn't make sense over here to have multiple fountains. Imam al-Qurtubi says that it would make logical sense if the Hawd is before the Sirat, because people will exit from their graves thirsty. So it should come to them before the Sirat and before the Mizan. Okay, so Imam Al-Qurtubi is saying that even before the judgment, even before the hisab, even before the mizan, even before all of this is taking place, as soon as people are resurrected from the grave and they enter into the plains of judgment day and the sun will be there and the heat will be there, Al-Qurtubi is saying that, you know, what makes sense is that the hawd is right then and there. Anybody who is righteous, anybody who's been doing wudu, anybody who follows the sunnah and who wants to hear the Prophet ﷺ and follow him, that person will be able to drink, so that the terror of the day of judgment, so that the thirst of the day of judgment, they will be free of that thirst. So from a rational perspective, meaning, and you think about the purpose of it, it makes sense that the hawd is going to be before all of that takes place. And this is what Imam Al-Qurtubi mentions. One of my teachers, Dr. Ghalib Al-Awaji, he wrote a PhD dissertation about the ahadith of the Day of Judgment, to compile all of the description of the Day of Judgment, and not just the ahadith, but all of the description of the Day of Judgment. And he has around 100 pages about the hawd. And so he then concludes that at the very end of it, he goes, it appears from all of the above that the fountain will be on the plains, the mawqif of the Day of Judgment, before the sirat, before the mizan, and before the judgment, right? So before anything actually happens, there will be the hawd, and this is what can be extracted from all of the texts, from all of the texts. So that is the position of my teacher as well, and it seems to be makes sense, and it seems to conform with the other hadith out there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Before we conclude, just two miscellaneous points, very interesting. I found a very interesting narration in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, the volume 32, page 13, about the hawd, which we don't learn anything new, but there was some tensions in early Islam about this issue, about the validity of hadith. There was a famous governor by the name of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. And he was one of the governors under the Umayyads. And by the way, I have a coin of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad in my collection. I collect coins. And I have a lot of coins from the early, early part of Islam, especially the Umayyad time frame, and even the time of the Sahaba. So Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad was one of the governors. And he would print Sassanid coins with Islamic, he would take Sassanid coins, Persian coins, and Islamicize them. At that, until this point in time, the coin had not been begun by the Muslim. I'm going to my tangents here, so let's get back here. So one of the Sahaba, Zayd ibn Alqam, said that Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad called me to his gathering, and he threatened me and said, "What is this I'm hearing? That you are narrating from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam things that we do not read in the Quran, and you're telling people that there's a fountain that's going to be in Jannah. What hawd is going to be there?" And so Zayd ibn Arqam said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated this to us, and he promised us that he's going to meet us there. And so the governor said, "You are lying. Rather, you are an elderly man who has lost, who's gone senile. You don't understand what you are saying." And Zayd ibn Arqam said that my ears have heard this, and my heart has memorized it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever lies against me intentionally, let him wait for his place in the fire of hell." And I have never lied about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah! What a beautiful hadith that the politician was telling the scholar to be quiet. Who do you think you are? And the scholar says that, "I'm not going to listen to you. I heard the Prophet say this directly, and I would never lie about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So this is a beautiful hadith as well. Final miscellaneous point as well, I want to conclude this with, is that there is a common perception, I can even say a myth if you like, a cultural connotation, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be giving the Kawthar from his own hands. Okay, so he's going to be giving the people the Kawthar from his own, the hawd, I should say, from his own hands. So people will be drinking from his own hands. And let me just say that that phrasing is not found in the Quran and Sunnah. We can say metaphorically he is giving from his hands, meaning he is inviting the people. But technically, he will not be the one picking up the water and putting it in our mouths, nor picking up a glass and giving it to us. That is not valid. Another sheikh and teacher of mine, somebody whom I admire immensely, Sheikh Safar Al-Hawali, he writes about this in detail as well. And Sheikh Safar Al-Hawali says that this issue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving from the health with his own hands, not only is it not narrated, it doesn't make sense that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is the one whom the hawl belongs to, shall become the water feeder. Doesn't make sense. Rather, it is befitting that he will be inviting people to the hawl, and not that he will be feeding himself cups to millions and millions of people, but rather that he is in charge of it. And so this is what we need to just point out, because a lot of people they have this perception that the hands of the Prophet will themselves, you know, feed them. And you know, I mean, it's not been narrated, let's just put it that way. And we need to be technical here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be inviting people to the hawl, and we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are of those that is invited and of those that is not rejected. We want to drink from the hawd. We want the Prophet to invite us and to recognize us. And we want to drink from that, a drink that will be pure than milk itself, whiter than milk itself, pure than asal, sweeter than honey, and a drink that whoever drinks from it will never be thirsty after that. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us to drink from the hawd on the Day of Judgment, so that we do not have to face any thirst after that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and allow us to be of those who are invited to drink from his hawd. And with this, inshaAllah ta'ala, we will conclude the issue of the hawd, and I will resume on the next topic issue, which is going to be about the gathering together and then the crossing over the bridge or the sirat, and then the final stages. And inshallah, I will see you then. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya man ajabta du'a Nuhin fantasar wa hamaltahu fi fulkika al-mashhun. Ya man ahala an-nar حول خليله روحا وريحانا بقولك كوني.